Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about the center, our programs, social justice or different cultures. Today, my visitor is Father William Falcao. Father William, a warm welcome and hi to my Tour Radio program.
Thank you.
Father William Falcao is a Salesian of Don Bosco. He is originally from Bombay, India, and he's currently having a sabbatical year, which he is spending in the Diocese of Auckland. Before starting even this interview, can you please tell us what the difference is between Mumbai and Bombay?
Well, Mumbai is the original name of the city, but the Portuguese named it as Bombay, that is a good bay, because they found it to be a good harbour, good port. The British too went on calling it Bombay. So now internationally the city is known as Bombay. But in 1995, a nationalist regional political party changed the name back to Mumbai to wipe off any trace of colonization. Internationally, the city is known as Bombay, as the British had ruled in most part of the world. But locally, we would like to call it Mumbai.
Okay, so when you are in Bombay, people say Mumbai.
Mumbai.
And when you're outside, you call it Bombay.
Bombay.
And you know that we have Bombay Hills south of Auckland. Okay, and so you are here in Auckland on your sabbatical, and yet you're filling in different parishes at the moment. Usually sabbatical time is a time out. What made you come to Auckland and work during your sabbatical time?
Sabbatical does not exactly mean time out. Yes, time out to change the routine. I'm interested in learning about different cultures and history. So I took time out to study the cultures of different communities in New Zealand. It is a small country. It should be easier to study here. There is nothing like studying something locally and at first hand. Moreover, Auckland is a very clean city and hence definitely healthier than Bombay. The pollution level in Bombay is very high, so I can breathe some clean air at least for a year here in Auckland. I had good experience about various cultures and specifically Maori culture when I was posted in North. I was really very, very interested in learning more about that language and the culture. And what I liked in New Zealand was is the harmony among the people of different nationalities and cultures. There is a real equality here, unlike in India, where the casteism still prevails to some extent in many parts of the country.
Can you say something about the caste system?
Yeah.
Because you now say Auckland, of course, is, as many politicians say, it's one of the most multicultural cities in the world with a lot of religions and a lot of different cultures and languages. And yet we all speak English, or most of us speak English. And many of us have learned at least some Maori. But what is that caste system? Is that because it sounds like from previous times?
Yeah.
Is it still very much in place in India?
Yeah. In prehistory time, the ruling people, they laid down castes. Castes were meant for services. There were various people doing various services in the village or in the town. For example, those doing iron smithery, doing works with iron or metals. And so they were artisans. They were also people who were studying and teaching. So they were, okay, learned people, wise people. They were called Brahmins. There were also people who were doing trades. So those who were doing trade, they were called Vaishyas. Those who were doing artisans' works, and lower than that, cleaning, they were called Shudras. Now, Shudras were doing really very often very dirty work, like cleaning toilets, the latrines, sometimes even actually carrying the night soil on their heads. So they were supposed to be not so clean, so untouchable. So from prehistory time to almost till the British arrival of the British in the country, this structure, the stratified society of India was prevalent. British did help to some extent to break this structure and re-stratify the society. And later on, many reformers like Ambedkar, Baba Sahib Ambedkar, he too has done yeoman service, great service in this field of breaking down this system and stratification. And the constitution too has forbidden untouchability. And in fact, it's a crime to practice untouchability. But it still carries on. And it is very prominent, especially at the time of marriages.
So you can't marry outside your caste?
Outside the caste. Not exactly outside the caste. We cannot marry lower caste than yours. Okay, it comes to outside the caste, what you said.
Yeah.
So that is still prevalent. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised, even in New Zealand, people go back to the country, India, to choose a bride or a groom from their own caste and get married to them. Whereas huge market is available here in New Zealand. But no, caste may be a problem. So they go back.
But that's a cultural thing, or is it also within the religion? Do you also, because you said the Brahman were the priests, but when you are a Christian, does that still apply for you? Do the Christians have anything to do with the caste system?
The church doesn't believe in caste system. But the church is made up of people. Some parts of the world, I am sad to say, in the church, there is caste system.
So that's where the culture and the church practices.
Yes, they telescope into each other. They do.
It's like in previous time when noblemen were usually becoming bishops.
Bishops, right.
It was somebody else would.
Yep.
Well, we're still working on that. But I think it's important to understand that system. And I think what you said about the origin was understandable, because if you learn trades, you would learn it from your father, and your father had learned it from the grandfather, and it's like our last names, which often show what profession your ancestors had.
Right.
And you were supposed to marry within that that caste, not a caste, but a social class.
Yeah, this stratification, social class, we like to.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Te Ngaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Centre. My visitor today is Father William Falcao, and he is from Bombay and is currently doing a sabbatical year in Auckland. Father William, you've been here now for a few months. Is there anything special that you would say that you'd really like and enjoy, and maybe is completely different to your home region in India? So you mentioned the cleanliness, the way that people live together, work together.
Yeah,
and when you think of the church, is there anything that is very different to the Indian church?
Yes. Here the church is, I think, more liberal. And between the various, we have a good interaction between the between various sects, which is not found so much in India. They also, like just like caste system, we are already stratified, almost fossilized, that we are, okay, we are Catholics, so let us not. Here I find people visiting various churches, even on Sundays, fulfilling their Sunday obligations to some extent in various churches or the various sects, which is quite laudable. At the same time, we have to be a little careful to preserve the uniqueness of the Catholic Church, Catholic doctrine. But in India, we are not so liberal.
And Father William, as I said, you are from Bombay. And in July this year, our Mercy Spirituality Centre organised an ecumenical event together with Vaughan Park Anglican Retreat Centre. As you say, we are working together on an ecumenical basis. Our focus on that day was St. Thomas the Apostle, and we had invited Father Thomas Kurian, a young priest from Kerala, India, with a great name, Thomas, for this event. He told us about the traditions in his home region in Kerala and where this, and a little bit of Tamil Nadu. And he told us about the story that goes that St. Thomas the Apostle came to convert the Jewish congregation in Kerala, but then spread the Catholic faith beyond these congregations. How did Christianity arrive in Bombay?
It is believed, yes, that St. Thomas came to India in the first century and brought the gospel, basically in South India. There are no conclusive proofs about it. It's also believed St. Bartholomew came to Bombay, a place called Kalyan. And in fact, it is believed he preached he was martyred and maybe buried somewhere there. But there are no, again, conclusive proofs about this. But in the beginning of 16th century, brought the gospel in the western shores of India. The Portuguese brought it. They first arrived in Kochi, known also as Cochin in Kerala, but later settled themselves in Goa, Daman, Diu, and Vasai. Vasai was a prominent town because it had a very good port and a huge fort built by the Mughals, of course, later on taken over by the Portuguese, and is quite near Bombay, just a bay in between. British developed Bombay later, but it is the Portuguese who brought the faith in the western region of India. Bombay at that time was not a developed city as it is today. The British developed it. It was a conglomeration of seven different islands with marsh and water in between, bays in between. But they unified all these islands and made into the huge cosmopolitan city of Bombay.
How long did the Portuguese stay, more or less?
Beg your pardon?
The Portuguese, when did they leave, more or less? When
they must have lived in 1600 sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1700 they left.
1700.
No, they arrived in 1500.
And then the British took over.
The Maratha, the local warrior, he fought with the
Portuguese
and sent the Portuguese away from the. But then afterwards, the British had a treaty with these Maratha people, and they took over, mm-hmm. And then the Indian government took over. So the Bombay has seen, like within four centuries, four different cultures, quite different, like Mughals than the Portuguese.
It's always a problem if you live in a nice area, and Bombay
it is
a good bay, so yeah, many people would like to.
In fact, in known history, there has been no very big earthquake in that region. No very big storm or what do you call it?
Natural disaster. No, it's been spared.
Yes, it's a good bay. For that matter, all of that western coast is more or less of this kind. Is really a good area. That's why also people from the Western region came there to colonize or to trade.
Yeah.
British came to trade. Portuguese came to colonize. They came under Padroado system.
Yeah.
And they established themselves, but then they went, they were sent away, and they established themselves in Goa very well. Goa, Daman, and Diu. Of course, Diu also, there are not very many. Daman, there are few, very few now. In fact, last when I visited Daman, there were about 367 families, Catholic families, all migrating out.
Why are they migrating?
They are migrating because there's a better future out of that place.
Yeah.
In Daman, there is no industry of any kind. The only source of livelihood is tourism and fishing, which is not sufficient to absorb all the young people into some kind of a useful work.
And in that region, so you have a lot of Portuguese last names?
Yes. All this area, they have Portuguese last names, right from Cochin up to Vasai, Daman, Diu, even Diu.
Yeah, yeah. So the Portuguese brought the faith, they brought Christianity to that region, and they kept it alive. Did they build Portuguese churches?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very true. Beautiful churches, very old. Now they are being restored. Of course, they too are under the heritage system. So we cannot touch the exterior of those churches, but many of them are beautiful churches, restored beautifully.
And how strong is the Catholic or the Christian community? Do you have many other denominations? Many other Christian denominations?
Yes, there are other Christian denominations, not so strong in a place called Vasai. But in the rest of Bombay, there are many other denominations, new ones too. All the classical ones like Anglicans and Lutherans and Methodists, they are there. But also the new ones are sprouting up, and they are spreading.
The evangelicals.
Evangelical,
yeah.
Churches, they are spreading in Bombay.
How strong is the Christian community in Bombay?
Bombay, we will be about 3.8%, whereas the rest of India will be about 2.5%.
Oh, so it's stronger than in the country's average?
Yes.
But it's still quite low.
Yeah.
And the majority, are they Hindu?
Hindus,
yeah. And now we are approaching Christmas, and we are the last days of Advent, and almost reached one of our major feasts in the Catholic Church. How do you celebrate Christmas in and around Bombay, with having such a big majority of Hindus?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's different to maybe here,
yeah,
where everybody says Merry Christmas. Do people still say Merry Christmas?
Right. The place Bombay, the city of Bombay, and the places around it are quite westernized in our world. So much of our life is westernized, like Europe, America, maybe to some extent like New Zealand, Australia. And so we celebrate Christmas like you celebrate Christmas here. Not much difference. One difference is that you have begun too early.
Begin too early. So
yes,
before the first
Advent. I mentioned it in one of my sermons that you people here around, of course, the rest of Europe and America, just like them, like Australia, New Zealand, Pacifica, no patience. We are in such a hurry to celebrate Christmas. It's not so true in India. Even the corporate world is not so much in a hurry to celebrate Christmas.
So do you mean before the first of Advent, or do you mean the first of Advent?
Yeah, soon after the Feast of Christ the King, you began your Christmas celebrations here. But
well, I think that's a commercial thing.
It's a commercial, of course. It's a marketing gimmick that's tried, of course, no doubt about it.
Yeah. But Advent is the time of waiting and patience, usually.
There should be, in fact, one rite in India, the Malankara rite, they observe Lent just like Advent.
Mm-hmm.
No celebrations.
But that's why we have purple in the liturgic color.
Exactly.
And in many churches, they don't have flowers during that
exactly.
time.
Exactly. But here we have all sort of celebration, just like Christmas. And we celebrate. In fact, I found it more vibrant in Bombay and surroundings of Bombay than here. Already Christmas carols on the first day of the Navina before Christmas. The carol groups are out in the night, whole night till after midnight or more. They go around singing carols. Groups go around singing carols merrily, happily, rejoicing, creating an atmosphere of joy before Christmas arrives. And there is really a joyous atmosphere. Even some parts of, you know, places away from Bombay. But otherwise, we are quite similar. Our sweets that we prepare, maybe cake could be similar. That could be the same for all. But some of the local, many local sweets we prepare and we enjoy them during Christmas time.
What competitions
going on now, right now?
What kind of competition? Cake?
Carol competitions, crib competitions, star competitions between the neighborhoods, villages, neighborhoods, and also between parishes.
And what time of season is it in India, in Bombay? Is it
winter?
It's winter.
Mm.
So like in Europe.
But our winter is not so severe as yours. It is almost as good as this.
Okay. And so you have midnight mass on the 24th. When do you receive your presents in India or in Bombay? Because I'm aware that India is such a huge country, so the traditions might change, might be different.
Yeah.
But what is the tradition in your region regarding Christmas gifts? For example, in my hometown, in Germany, in my home region, we always receive the gifts after Mass on the 24th. And in Spain, I've been told that it's you get the gifts with the three wise kings. How is it in Bombay?
Yeah. First and foremost, midnight Mass. It is now being anticipated because of Supreme Court order. Each of us have been given to, each religion has been given 2, 3, 4 days to celebrate till late in the night. We cannot celebrate late in the night. So we have been given 2 days. One of them is Christmas. But even then, just to honor the people around and the Supreme Court's order, we celebrate Masses, not all the places, many places. We celebrated Mass. We finished our Mass and celebration before midnight. And when you come home, yes, we find presents. Maybe they're usually on our bed. That is because you're going to bed and certainly you'll find it there. And
so maybe everybody will be alone when they open the presents.
Yes.
So nobody is watching.
Nobody should be watching you around you and comparing. Maybe also they may not compare. So there, of course, as you go to rural areas, this custom is much less, giving gifts at Christmas time, because we give gifts at other times. Many gifts, many times. There are times to give gifts. So Christmas is not exactly the time for giving gifts in the rural areas. But Bombay and around and cosmopolitan areas like the metros of India and around, we are very much urbanized and cosmopolitan. So we follow many customs of the Western world, like giving gifts.
Yeah. And the mass is the same. And do you have a Christmas nativity scene?
Yes. The cribs, we have competitions.
Oh.
Yeah. Now going on right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Right now, a little later.
Yeah.
Trips will come later. Stars competitions are going on.
Yeah.
And carol competitions are going on. Yeah.
So it's a very competitive country, isn't it?
Yes. Just to encourage people to get into that mood.
Yeah. And do you have a holiday, Christmas holiday for the schools also?
Yes. Schools we have, especially church-run schools and Christian-run schools, we have holiday 10 days. And depending on the weekends, maybe less or more.
And do you also invite the Hindus to participate in the celebrations?
Very much. We have a lot of give and take. They come in our homes for our feasts, to taste our sweets and all, the wishes. And we go to their homes for Diwali, to the Muslim homes, the different Eids. They have the Eid celebrations. We go to their homes. Eids, we enjoy the biryani in their homes. And the Hindus, we enjoy their sweets. They're very fond of sweets. And we enjoy those sweets at Diwali time. And they come and enjoy Western kind of sweets, some like cakes and all.
Yeah.
In the Christian homes.
And what is the typical meal, the Christmas meal? So in some countries, it's a turkey or a Christmas bacon or a goose, or what is it in
Bombay? We don't have a specific Christmas meal.
Is it mainly the Christmas sweets?
Christmas sweets, okay. Those would be for snacks.
Yeah.
But Christmas meal, we have like any other meal. Like we would have those who are Christians and all, they eat pork. They would have pork, chicken. Some of us now of late also have turkey.
Yeah.
Turkeys are not very popular. These are not very popular bird in India yet. But still, we now just start rearing them.
Yeah.
And there is a market, small, very little market for turkeys around Christmas time. Otherwise, we have normal, like any other feast day, a little more.
Yeah. And you're a Silesian. Do you have any influence from the Italian culture also, from Don Bosco time?
Yes. In India, our heritage is, of course, from the Italians. And we have, of course, and that one of their heritage could be wine. That we have wine, of course, table wine, or a little better. Wine is not exactly, again, it doesn't have a good market yet in India. But now, being westernized and cosmopolitan, wine is coming in. And of course, on the feast day like Christmas, we'll have something symbolic from the Italians, that is wine. Not so popular, is on the wane, but it is there.
Yeah. And are you going to miss Christmas now when you are here in New Zealand?
Definitely, but yeah. Not so much. But definitely, I miss Indian Christmas, Bombay Christmas.
Yeah, but you're going to learn something new here
in
this country.
I'm really learning something new.
Yeah.
Happy to learn something new in New Zealand.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Father William. Thank you for taking your time to come to this radio interview. And I wish you all the best and many good experiences here in New Zealand.
And thank you so much.
Thank you
so much. Hi, Rita.
And so what's coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center in the next weeks? Well, we have finished our programs for 2018. Our office is now closed and we will reopen on the 14th of January 2019. In January, we will start with our annual sabbatical program for senior sisters. But then on Saturday, the 16th of February, from 9:30 to 3:30, Sarah Cooper will facilitate a retreat day with the title Rediscovering Wholeness of Life in Christ, How Gratitude Opens the Way. 1 week later, we will offer a morning with Father Chris Skinner, who will share and teach a number of his musical settings to the Psalms with the theme of gratitude. This music workshop will take place at St. Columba Center in Vermont Street in Ponsonby on Saturday the 23rd of February from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And on the 22nd and the 23rd of February, Margaret Bowater will facilitate an introduction into dream work. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone. But our phone is now not in operation until the 14th of January, but you can always send us an email or look at our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And I wish you a good blessed Friday, a good week ahead, and a great start into the new year, 2019. And thank you very much, Father William, for having come.
God bless you.